It's game week. Welcome to a game week edition of the Rebel Room. We've been waiting and patiently waiting some more as the basketball season ended in March for there to actually be a game to talk about. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Mike Grimala, and we've got you covered with UNLV football. Mike, Saturday it all begins. The quest to get six for the Rebels, and if you're going to get to six, you got to beat Southern Utah.
You got to get one first. It starts with one, which is what they should get pretty easily on Saturday. Southern Utah went 1-10 last year. They're one of the worst defenses in the country. I think they were last or second to last in points and yards allowed, in Division II. So I mean, UNLV should have no trouble dispatching this team. This is the kind of game you go out, you hang up your 49 or 50 points, and you wrap it up quickly, and then you're on to game number two.
Yeah, the ideal scenario is for Armani Rogers, the quarterback who was great in the season finale against UNR right there at Sam Boyd Stadium, to start the 49th year of football and the final year of football at Sam Boyd with probably a great first half where he throws for like three, rushes for one. UNLV so convincingly ahead that he doesn't play in the second half. Remember, we got to keep this Cadillac in the shop and ready to roar the rest of the season, and UNLV's able to come out with some confidence. That's all it's about with this team, is confidence. We've seen him struggle in years past against lower tier teams. Anything could happen. We've learned that the hard way over the last decade. But this looks like a game where UNLV is going to get a lot of guys in. A lot of folks are going to get some confidence. And, maybe we see a continuation of the UNR game.
That's the biggest thing. And that's something that's sort of been a theme for UNLV throughout the offseason, even in spring practice and into training camp. You talk to these guys, and they still are energized by that win over UNR, that comeback win. We're talking 7 months later now, 8 months, 9 months later. And they are still pumped up about the way that they played in the second half of that game, and the way, with the way that everything came together to end the season. If they can get that kind of spirit on the field against Southern Utah, they should be able to take care of business. Last, the Howard thing is still sort of hovering over the program, and yeah, it will for a while. Yeah, because we're talking about this Southern Utah game the way that we sort of talked about that Howard game leading up to it, and we know what happened there. But last year, UNLV did their job. I mean, UTEP, they beat them pretty easily, and then Prairie View, another walk in the park. So last year they took care of business. If any of that stuff from the offseason carries over, the energy that they've been playing with and practicing with, they'll be 1-0, and that's what you want to see going into that pivotal second game.
All right, so quick shout out, Grimal, I played in the Chaparral High alumni soccer game 2 weekends ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, my knee is still hurting. I played about 5 minutes, so I know how Armani Rogers feels. There was a guy who went to Shap who was in the game who says he listens to the Rebel Room. When he found out that I worked here, says, "Oh, do you know who does that Rebel Room podcast?" And I didn't get the guy's name, but how many Shap soccer alums are listening right now? So shout out to my guy for listening. I really appreciate you. And
did you get to crow a little bit? Like, hey, that's me.
I was like, hey, I do that. I was very, very, very happy to be along on that. Were you on social media this weekend? A little bit?
A little bit. I don't think I tweeted much, but I did. I'm always on social media following.
Did you see any of those photos from the season ticket holder party they had at Sam Boyd Stadium?
Yeah, I saw the ones that UNLV tweeted out.
What did you see in those pictures? What was the one thing you saw in that picture?
It looked like it was they call it a mock game, but it's not even that. It's basically like, we're teaching our players how to get dressed. Like, we're teaching them how to get dressed and get on the bus and get to the stadium. And that's what they do in that mock game rehearsal. So that's what I saw, basically.
Well, my apologies. We didn't talk about this ahead of time in our planning.
I want to know what you saw, because it sounds like you get something good.
I saw something a little different. I saw a nice, pretty red cannon with people taking pictures.
Oh, that's right.
The cannon. It's nice when you can roll that thing around as like an accessory,
Yeah, I don't think they do that enough, actually. Like, if UNLV, I'm not taking a shot, but, you don't always have that. And for UNLV football, it's been somewhat rare in recent times. For me, if I was in charge of that cannon, it would be at every UNLV event.
If I'm Sanchez, that thing is sitting in my bedroom. I wake up every night and I see that and I go kiss it, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it should be, I feel like it should be out way more than it is.
Yeah. So late last night, Sunday, this is Monday, if you're listening midweek, getting ready for game day on Saturday, UNLV releases its depth chart. A lot of it's kind of what we expected, you know, Williams as the one tailback. Armani, of course, is the one quarterback. Randall Grimes as a starter at wide receiver, which we knew he was going to play. I didn't think he'd start right away, though. Coming in late.
Yeah, no, in my experience covering the team, which is, you know, not lengthy, it's, you know, just 5 years or so, it's the most locked in that the offensive depth chart has been throughout training camp in my time covering the team. You pretty much knew who everyone was going to be. You knew who the starting offensive line was going to be. You knew who the, obviously, your backfield, your quarterback, and your running back. You knew the tight end. Grimes, as soon as you saw him play a couple times in training camp, you knew that he was, you know, he had a spot waiting for him. He's maybe the most athletic player on the team. You know the receivers are set. Offense, no questions at all. Defense, a couple questions. You picked up on one that I think you're itching to talk about. On the defensive side.
Yeah, so arguably the best recruit UNLV's got defensively.
The most hyped, for sure.
Most hyped. The guy picks UNLV over Baylor and a bunch of other higher division teams. Vegas Vic Veramontes listed as an and/or on the linebacker depth chart. And I've seen the guy in practice, and he looked impressive. And I know Pharrell Hester's a three-year guy, but you got to let Vegas Vicker on out there, right?
Here's the thing. UNLV, they play a 3-4, basically. I don't know if they actually call it that, but they pretty much have, you know, their base defense. They want three defensive linemen. They want their four linebackers on the field. So there are alignments when you can see those two guys playing together, Pharrell Hester and Vic Veramontes. There's room for those two guys in the middle. But, yeah, I mean, for him to – is it – on one hand, I know the coaches want us would take the positive approach and say, like, hey, Pharrell Hester played that well in training camp that he's, you know, earned the spot. But on the other hand, you got to kind of be concerned about Vic Veramontes. When you bring in – it is something to – you brought in this guy who was supposed to transform your defense and be one of the building blocks and this huge contributor. And he played a full training camp. And as far as I know, he was healthy throughout it. He was able to go 100% and did not clearly earn a starting spot, according to the first depth chart. Things can change quickly. But yeah, that's something that it is sort of an eye-opener, something that catches your eye. You would have expected with all the fanfare that came when he committed to UNLV, you thought he would have been penciled in right then and there.
Yeah, and Rashad Jackson as well is listed as a co-starter, which I guess you kind of expect, even though the guy was here.
He's only practiced for a week. Yeah. It sort of makes sense.
He got his mental reps, but it does make sense. But I would think by the time they roll into Northwestern, hopefully healthy, right? Because you know, with injuries, who knows? The guy behind Hester/Vegas Vic might be starting with injuries. But if everybody's healthy and you got to get your best guys on the field to win a game, you would think that Jackson, Veramontes, Hester as well could be out there. I guess, you know, glass half full, Grimala, it does show that they have player depth, which they've obviously lacked in past seasons.
They do. And that's probably the biggest thing that Tony Sanchez has been talking about. Throughout camp, throughout spring, is they have depth or that they like on the defensive side. In past years, it was, you know, we need Mike Hughes to play 99% of the snaps up front because if he comes out, we don't have any defensive linemen that can make a difference. It's not like that now. They've got some different guys that they think can rotate in, make plays. Whether it's Vic Veramontes or Hester starting at that middle linebacker spot, you know, if one of them has to come off the field for a breather or for a series, you can throw the other one in there and maybe not have such a drop-off. So it does – that's been Tony Sanchez's. He's been preaching that for, you know, pretty much ever since he took the job. You know, the biggest thing about UNLV is just the scholarship numbers and quality scholarships and how many people can actually play and where's our depth. Will one injury wreck our entire scheme? He thinks that they've turned the corner in that point where they can withstand some of that erosion that comes with, you know, the attrition of a football season. And yeah, that linebacker group is the best example. That's probably the best group that they have on the defensive side. Probably one of the best linebacker groups they've had in years. with four guys who can play, maybe even five. And we didn't even mention the best of them, which is Javon White, who's the your senior strong side linebacker, I guess you would call him, your Sam. He's listed on the depth chart. To me, he's their best player defensively.
Do you know the difference between Sam and Will?
Sam, I believe, lines up over your tight end on the strong side of the formation, and your weak side linebacker is sort of on the backside, sort of free to run around. And but that's like super basic. I could be completely wrong. I don't know football on that level where I'm like X's and O's moving chess pieces around. But
yeah, so happy to have the Rebel fans with us for another year, the Rebel Room. We've been doing this podcast for about 12 years. Looking forward to a great football and basketball season. Very thrilled that Grimala is going to be on the road with all UNLV games. So we appreciate your coverage, your support. If you're a subscriber on our paywall, which I know a few of you guys are, we really appreciate that as well. Many of you, like Grimala and I, look at the Rebel schedule before the year and try to handpick the wins, right? We want to get to six. Maybe we could get to seven. And when I did mine, I had Hawaii as one of the seven.
You changing that after watching?
Did you watch
week
that
one?
Game?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I didn't watch it beginning to end, but I saw enough of it to make me think that it's going to be a tough game for UNLV to win. But they are at home, which is a good thing.
Yeah, especially with Hawaii having to come from the island, no easy task. But the Hawaii offense, despite all the turnovers, they had times where they needed a score, like at the end of the first half, and it was like bam, bam, touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh God, there's no way UNLV's defense, traditionally not a strength, could stop that.
I mean, the thing that worries me is that, I mean, we're talking about specific like positional matchups like 10 weeks in advance, but UNLV, one of their huge issues that they seem to always have is just athleticism in the defensive backfield. Like their corners and safeties, when you get them in space, they just are not quick enough or athletic enough to make plays on the ball. So a team that will just go deep and air it out like Hawaii does once in a while can just kill you with the deep passing game. And we saw that that's how Hawaii beat them last year. But that's in the future. UNLV feels like they've gotten better back there. UNLV will be coming off a bye week for that. That's their second bye week of the season, I believe, before that Hawaii game. So that gives them a chance to sort of get their bearings and get refreshed. I still think that's a game that UNLV can win. They'll put up a fight. I'd be interested to see the line when that week comes around.
Yeah, the one thing I do worry about UNLV is by time they get to the last three games of their season, Hawaii, San Jose, Reno, games that they're probably going to have to win part of, if not all of, to get bowl eligible. Are they going to be mentally in it still from the at Vandy, at Fresno, Boise home, you know, whatever, how gauntlet of death, if you will, for UNLV football. I hate the way when I look at the schedule that it lines up with those games that look like they could be winnable, because now you've got it's happened like this many times where you look at the end of the year and it's like, oh, there's four games that they're going to be competitive in, they could probably win, and they can't win them all. So I just, you know, trying to get to six or seven, if you will, it's tough when the three winnable games could be at the back end.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's that stretch in the middle where you've got the 6 weeks where it's, you know, at Northwestern, at Wyoming, Boise at home, at Vanderbilt, at Fresno, San Diego State at home. I think it's, to me, you look at the schedule, your best chance, the most important thing is you've got to start 2-0. You got to beat Southern Utah at home. You've got to beat Arkansas State at home. You're 2-0. Then you've got those six games in a row coming up. If I'm UNLV, I'm banking on Armani Rodgers having, in out of one of those six games, play so well that we win just on the basis of on Armani's shoulders, like sort of like they did with UNR last year. You give him 6 weeks, he'll win one of those games, right? If he's you know, everything you expect this year. And then you get the final four at Colorado State, Hawaii at home, San Jose State at home, at UNR, you got to win three.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a tough way to close out the season, but if Armani can win you one of those six in the middle, you're leaving the door open. That's how I see it playing
out. I like your way of thinking. UNLV with probably its toughest schedule in the five-year Sanchez era. Armani Rodgers, he's now, you know, his fourth year in the program, redshirt junior. He hasn't been healthy for an entire season, but right now he's healthy, he's ready to go. And if he plays up to you know, his recruiting, what they brought him in here to do. They brought him in here not just to win six or seven games, but to compete for a Mountain West championship. And I give you a quick little fun story, Grimala. I saw Sanchez at one of the practices I covered, and he and I were kind of talking after our interview, and I was like, I mentioned something like, hey, coach, you know, hopefully we're doing this after the New Mexico Bowl, which is, you know, a bowl that like the fourth Mountain West team that is bowl eligible squeezes into, right? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he goes, I'll talk to you after the Las Vegas Bowl, which would be for the league championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see, he's got the mentality, Grimalo. A plus A equals B.
How does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, I like the fact that, you know, me, a guy who strives to be average, is thinking, hey, let's get into that New Mexico Bowl, baby. And it's like going to the Super Bowl. And Sanchez, who's a guy who's had this great vision for a program and who I've said 100 times has won the offseason, right? He's done everything brilliantly except on game day and winning games. He's got that mentality where he thinks he's thinking not just squeeze into a bowl game. He's thinking knock down the door, baby, and win the whole league.
If, you know, this is by far, I think this is clearly, I wouldn't say by far, but I think it's clearly the best team that he's had here. Like, this is the year that they are positioned for. They are positioned to be very, very good this season. If some breaks go their way, had the schedule been a little more forgiving, you know, you swap out at Northwestern for, you know, an easier team, you know, maybe, I could see them winning seven
like
games.
Like at Reno twice. I hear what you're saying.
Swap them all for Prairie View A&M. And I could see this team, you know, winning seven games and having sort of a breakthrough season, and they go to a bowl game and it's all partying and everybody's happy. I don't know if that the schedule gives me pause. I think like six is still their max. I don't. The Las Vegas Bowl would be that is shooting like way high. I don't know if they've got the talent to sort of compete at the top of the league just
last
yet.
Last Las Vegas Bowl at Sam Boyd Stadium. The one thing you have to ask with this team is, how do you take a team that's been a perennial loser, which they have been, right?
Mm-hmm.
More 2 and 3 win seasons than bowl seasons.
Yep.
In fact, they've never been to back-to-back bowls. You know the narrative, right? They've only been to 4 bowls all time. And how do you get those players to think that they're winners and to have a winning mentality? Right. And I think some of it is he's recruited players who come from winning high school programs, right, who are accustomed to winning and think that's going to carry over into college. But how does a team that loses a coin flip 3 out of every 4 times, how do they get that mentality of, okay, this game's coming down to the end, any team can win, and that team's going to be us?
To me, the number one thing is quarterback. Like, if that's where everything starts with if you're talking strictly on the field, putting aside, you know, all the culture talk and the facilities and, you know, practice habits and all that, on the field strictly, it's quarterback. Like, if you get into a close game, or, I mean, how many football games, if you play a football season, NFL, college, high school, whatever, and the teams are, unless it's like a Gorman type talent differential, I mean, half your games are going to be close, and they're going to come down to a field goal either way or a touchdown either way. And the team with the better quarterback just has a huge advantage in those games. So first, I would say the quarterback, and then second is the coach. Like, can the coach manage the game to get you a win here and there? Can he outcoach the other team down the stretch? Can he use his timeouts at the right time? Can he come up with a good game plan to give you the best chance to win? Coaching quarterback, you start stealing wins, and then the team just starts believing in themselves. How often have you seen that where a team, you know, starts off 4-0, unexpected, and then all of a sudden you're the Cinderella team and you just go on one of those rolls, and the next thing you know, you've won 11 games and you're playing on New Year's Day? I'm not saying UNLV is going to do that or they have a chance at that, but you start 2-0, Armani goes out and wins you a game at Northwestern, which it would be a huge, gigantic upset, one of the biggest in program history, probably.
Especially with Northwestern having the Clemson quarterback, but go ahead.
And then it's like, say if that happens, that's beyond anyone's expectations. forget about that five games that come after that. Throw all your expectations out the window. I know some people expect them to go 0-6 during that stretch, but if you win that first one, you throw all expectations out. You're 3-0. You're rolling. Armani's playing great. Who knows what could happen? So the quarterback play is the first thing. If you get winning play at quarterback and he's winning you games, it changes the entire outlook of the team. So that's where I would start with that.
So in probably UNLV's most successful season in my life, and I was born in 76, was, in my opinion, 99 when Jason Thomas led
them. Good quarterback play.
Good quarterback play, but they also won a lot of games at the buzzer. In the fourth quarter, they pulled it out, and it resulted in a great night. They beat Arkansas in Las Vegas Bowl, and that was at a time when so growing up here, Rebel basketball was all we had, right? Rebel football, similar interest to what it is right now. But after the, you know, Tark left in 92, it became a time, you know, mid-90s to late 90s, where there wasn't much to cheer for UNLV, right? Basketball was going through this transition and this conflict and this drama with Rolly Massimino. Football was still bad. And then in 99, John Robinson comes in, right? Here's this guy that had, you know, led USC to greatness and coaches great running backs, and he's bringing in all these marquee players, and UNLV's going to Las Vegas Bowl, and they're playing Arkansas. And those Rebel fans had a chance to get their sweaters out because they hadn't had anything to cheer for since Tark left, right? And this is when people would follow them around to the NCAA tournament and everything, and they showed up just in mass. There was a big rally on Fremont Street, and it was widely attended. And there was a lot of people there at that Las Vegas Bowl, a lot of UNLV fans. And you're thinking, this is when the population was a fraction of what it is now. So I know that it's out there, and if this team could get hot, it could get that momentum they're looking for. Because that momentum, forget about 6 wins or 7 wins or a bowl game. It's what kind of momentum could you get this year to get into that new stadium? And I think I'm done. That was my take for the day.
I'd be interested to see a great hypothetical would be what it would take to bring like football fever back a little for UNLV and to get the fans engaged at that level and to get the stadium numbers up and get the attendance up. I wonder what it would take. Like, would it take consecutive, like, 9-3 seasons with bowl games? Like, what would it take, you know, Mountain West Championship for the football team? What would it get? What would it take for people to show up, you know, 40,000, 50,000 at that stadium? Some people don't think it's possible at all, just that there's just not enough of a fan base here to ever have that.
I mean, the thing you run up against, Mike, is that these games are played on Saturday, and Saturday, we're not a college town where it's all built around going to watch the Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And the team really has to have a magical run. But the fans are out there, and people love Las Vegas. You see what they're doing with the Golden Knights, right? It's cool to be at a Golden Knights game. You may not know about hockey, but it's cool to be there. I think with going into the new stadium and how the Rebels are making it affordable to go to the new stadium, I think if they could just be semi-interesting, they're going to get people to show up just to see the facility, and then maybe they get hooked on it.
I feel like throughout the course of this podcast, without Case here to sort of tamper you down, we've started off before week one, we're starting from like a very high point where we've spent a lot of time talking about like the heights that they could reach and all that.
You do a good job of agreeing with me where he knows to disagree with me right away.
It's not so much that I am agreeing with you, but I'm letting you go with your point, and I'm at least considering it. Whereas, I mean, I don't think any of this is possible, personally. I think they're probably 4-6 heading into the last two games of the season, if I have you asking me to go through the schedule 1-2. So all the talk about, like, bringing the fans back and these magical seasons and this and that, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen this season. I think you're probably scratching and clawing and needing everything to align perfectly over the last 2 weeks to make a bowl game. But I think they do have a chance. This is the best team that they've had since I've been covering them, which is, you know, like I said, only 5 years. But if they were going to make a run, this is the year, tough schedule or not. Armani's in his fourth year in the program. You finally get some depth on defense. You've got a good linebacking core. You've got Charles Williams, who's going to run for 1,200 yards. You've got a great offensive line. This is the team. If Tony Sanchez can't do it with this team, it's probably fair to ask if he's ever going to do it at UNLV. So Yeah, this is it. You got to win six or seven. It starts, you know, we got to take care of business and win that first one easily on Saturday against Southern Utah.
All right. Well, folks, we appreciate you listening. Of course, we try to tape on Mondays. Make sure you get us on iTunes. It'll pop right in there for you. For Mike, I'm Ray, and this is your first Rebel Room of the new football season.